Blessed Days in the Company of Vishwanatha Swami, Part 2 by Evelyn Casello Safair. My next opportunity to visit Sri Ramanashramam came in January of 1979. Those were pre-digital days, so we seemed to move about armed with cassette tapes and shoebox tape recorders. My hope on this visit was to record Vishwanatha Swami's reminiscences and recitations and to memorialize his spiritual wisdom on tape for friends and future devotees. So, with this noble plan in mind, I sewed a shoulder bag that would just fit a shoebox tape recorder. I knew that Swamiji received visitors in the afternoon before Vedas, and so, armed with my trusty shoebox tape recorder concealed in the bag, I entered the room and sat beside him. Gently, I asked if he would share some of his early experiences with Bhagavan, and just at the moment he began to say something, I slid out the recorder a tiny bit and pressed the record button. Was he to be so easily fooled? Of course, he heard the sound of the button being pressed. Swami immediately looked down at the recorder peeking out of the bag and told me to turn it off, foiling in a second my carefully laid plan. By nature, all kindness and compassion, however, Vishwanatha Swami, in the midst of numerous literary projects and voluminous editing for the mountain path, and in spite of his own weakened physical condition, carved out an hour each day to give me a Sanskrit class. Those were blessed and happy hours indeed, when I sat by his side and he shared with me Sanskrit slokas and songs. First and foremost, the compositions of Bhagavan, sacred compositions of ancient Vedic tradition, and his own verses as well, written with the guidance of Bhagavan and Kavyakanta Ganapati Muni. In fact, he filled up a notebook for me with the compositions of Bhagavan and other slokas. And the day before I left, he presented this priceless treasure to me with the name Bhamati inscribed in the front. In my case, Vishwanatha Swami used kindness to encourage detachment, friendliness to encourage dispassion. My attitude with him was one of complete and childlike trust, like that of a young girl with her father. This was confirmed on one occasion when I went to Swamiji's room for my daily Sanskrit class. I took my seat by his side as usual. Unexpectedly, a Kashmiri gentleman had come that day, and Swamiji enthusiastically said to him, "You see how, like a little girl, she feels no shyness to sit by my side. I am an unmarried man. I have no issue, but I have my brother's children. She is like one of them." This same solicitude was extended to all and demonstrates his extreme graciousness. On another occasion, after he had advised me not to go on pradakshina, with a mischievous look in his eyes, he inquired, "So, did you go round the hill this morning?" Naturally, I had not. He personally intervened when two other devotees in Arunachala Ashrama had intended to climb the hill before going to Madras the same day. Swami requested them to forego this climb, which they did. Like Arunachala, he could appear aloof. Yet, at one and the same time, he was a disinterested witness and a most compassionate father for us. Sri Bhagavan gave me the grace not to delude myself with the expectation of seeing Swami Vishwanatha again in physical form. So, how much more poignant was my leave-taking in March of 1979? Swami understood this as well, and he could not have been more compassionate. On my next to last night, I encountered him pacing the veranda in front of Sri Bhagavan's Samadhi. Mrs. McIver approached us and told me of Swamiji. He is my oldest friend here. He took me on my first pradakshina. He may not be my oldest friend, but he is my best friend, I replied. Laughingly, Swamiji graciously exclaimed, "Friend, child, daughter, niece, she is all these to me. I feel she is my own child." How these blessed parting words assured me of Swamiji's continuing solicitude and interest in me and all of my fellow devotees. In my humble experience, it sometimes happens that what appears to be going on outwardly may be quite different from what is happening inwardly. To all appearances, I was a young woman studying Sanskrit at the side of a gracious old man. Yet, there was never a time that I was not aware that I was in the presence of a rare and great soul, in the presence of one of burning dispassion and immaculate renunciation, whose experience of the self was firmly established, yet clothed in the guise of an unassuming devotee. On one occasion, I had requested Swamiji to narrate some incidents from his association with Sri Bhagavan. Significantly, he remained silent some moments and then prefaced what he had to say with the words, "Sri Bhagavan has given me the experience that he is none other than my own self. He is not external to me." Silence was the context of all that Vishwanatha Swami said and did. Many were blessed to feel it to be so, which is why people gathered in his room for a while before the afternoon Vedic recitations to dive deep in the atmosphere of silence that his proximity afforded. In this context, and by way of conclusion, I would like to share with you the last and perhaps the most profound message he sent to us. Below is the Sanskrit text from the letter with transliteration and translation. Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Samgraha, the quintessence of Vedanta. Tushnim, Tushnim, Tatas, Tushnim, 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 Va Kinchana. Silence, silence, and again silence, 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 and nothing more. Aham Petakam, Nija Vibhanakam, Mahaditim, Tapo, Ramana Vagiyam. All ego gone, living as that alone. Is penance good for growth? So sings Ramana, the self of all. Verse 30, Upadesa Saram, an excerpt from the letter from Vishwanatha Swami. Silence is where jnana and bhakti meet. There cannot be any talk in profound jnana or bhakti. Yet, Sankara has written so many commentaries and composed so many original works and hymns in praise of all deities to draw to the center various persons in various stages of spiritual development. Dakshinamurti taught in silence. Sankara condescended to help through reasoning as well and Ramana is Dakshinamurti and Shankara in one form. He is Arunachala in human form. Words are inadequate to describe him. Those who were fortunate to enter into the spirit of Arunachala by divine grace are saved. That is, they no more exist as separate individuals. They are once for all lost in Bhagavan. To be lost is to be saved.